Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. In the name of Jesus, amen. Do you remember that fairy tale story of the three little pigs? They moved out of the house, right? And each of them decided to build and construct their own casa. One of them chose straw. Another one chose sticks of wood. Another one chose bricks. And not there that long afterwards, the big bad wolf came to the house made of straw. And he knocked on the door and he says, "May I come in?" And the little pig said, "No." The big bad wolf, he huffed and puffed, and he did what? He blew the house down. Then he went to the house made of sticks and he said the same thing, "May I come in?" "No, you can't." And he became angry and he huffed and he puffed and he blew the house down. Until finally he went to the house that was built of bricks and he knocked and he would not be let in. And he huffed and he puffed and he huffed and he puffed and the big brick house did not blow down. The moral of that story is, I guess build with brick and the big bad wolf can huff and puff all he wants, but he's not blowing your house down, I guess. Here at Emmanuel, we know a little bit about building, don't we? We've extended our narthex and we've renovated the basement. We went through a lot of conversations and dialogue and perhaps some arguing and some disagreements, but in the end we voted as a congregation says, we want to move forward. We want to be a welcoming congregation with a welcoming building and a welcoming congregation. I might have got them out of order, but you get the drift, right? And so we began to build. I still worked in the building, you realize that, during construction. Even when the roof was off of the narthex area and it rained inside, the dust every single day, and I must confess, there's still nooks and crannies in my office that need dusted, and I'll get to them sooner or later. But as I sat in my office and as I wandered around the property during construction, I noticed that there was steel delivered, and there was wood delivered, and there was all kinds of drywall and all kinds of equipment and all this stuff going on. And I began to think to myself, the concrete that poured the slab for the new addition could have just as easily been used to pour the slab of a movie theater across town, right? And the wood that was used to construct, especially this beautiful knotty pine ceiling with the beautiful beams that's second to none in Lincoln, there could be wood taken from the very same forest, the tree next door that built a bar. Have you ever thought about that? Or perhaps there is nothing in this building that is any different from any other building in town that couldn't have built a factory or a office building or even your own house. There's nothing that designates one from the other. They're all the same. But something happened in this church. Something took place that set that new addition off as different. That set this sanctuary off as different back in 1949 as the people streamed into the sanctuary. They went through a service where they dedicated it to the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And believe you me, in 1949, those folks knew how to dedicate a building. In fact, I borrowed immediately the things that they did, so they set the bar kind of high. But we dedicated that new addition, and we're proud of the building that we have today. For anybody around town, they may look at that building and think to themselves, you know, it doesn't look any different than Lancaster Manor. It's got bricks. Yeah, they got some stained glass windows. It's kind of cool, but a lot of it looks a lot the same. And, you know, if they look at, there's some beautiful features in here to be for sure. But if you look close enough, that light bulb still burn out. There's paint peeling on the walls. There's defects in the workmanship of this building. But believe you me, not in the basement with the new renovation. It's perfect, righteous, and salutary in any way you want to cut it. For if I didn't say that, there'd be a few people that want to pummel me after service. And this congregation, when they dedicated this building, they named it Emmanuel. God with us, God dwells here. This building, although it has defects, it is set apart for a very, very special purpose. And it belongs to God. In this morning's epistle lesson, Paul writes to the church in Corinth. And he says those words, "Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you?" When we Christians are called the temple of God, it indicates that you and I have been dedicated to God and dedicated to His service. Just like any church building around town, the materials may look the same as everywhere else, but it's a different building. There's a different vibe. There's a different feeling as you come into a Christian church. And although many, as they look at you, may see some good qualities. She's loving and caring, or he's such a kind and generous person. But the reality is that if they look close at us, they're going to see some defects. There are times when we don't act very godly. There are times when our speech is not good, right, and salutary. Our behavior is lacking, and we let our sin shine through, although we are God's temple dedicated to His service. Those around us see who we are. See, just like everyone else, you and I have been conceived and born into sin. See, by nature, we're corrupt. It's inevitable. It's your father's fault. The seed came through Adam, and all mankind is born in the image of him. We're sinful, just like everyone else. For there is no distinction, no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And believe you me, there are times we let those imperfections really shine through. By nature, we're children of wrath, just like everyone else. And by nature, we are doomed to destruction because of our behavior, just like everyone else. But something took place within you that changed everything about you. For many of you, it's been very many years ago. That moment in time for you is more than a couple decades back. When you were dedicated, when a pastor said, "I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit," and you were received into the family of God, you became a temple, God's temple, set apart, dedicated to service of Him and love to Him. But dear friends, you can't take credit for the changes that have taken place in you, any more than our beautiful, new, expanded narthex could take credit for the dedication that occurred out there just a few short months ago. See, we are the creators of this new part of the building, and it was our decision when and how it was going to be dedicated. The narthex just kind of stood there as a passive recipient. In the same way that you and I, as we pass through the water of holy baptism, we are passive, we are recipients. For God's word makes it crystal clear that no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And we read elsewhere that by grace you have been saved through faith. not by works so that no man could boast. You have been saved by grace. It's all passive. You're a recipient thereof. So therefore, we boldly confess, as Luther does, to the third article of the Apostles' Creed, that the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with His gift, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. All passive. You're a recipient. Question you're asking yourself is, why are you making such a big deal out of this, Pastor? Because the fact of the matter is when you are a recipient of God's grace, God always gets it right. You never have to stand back and doubt or worry whether I'm forgiven, whether God loves me, whether I truly am the temple of God. I can tell you without beyond a shadow of a doubt, through the water of holy baptism or by faith in Christ, you are a temple of God. In our text, Paul issues a mild rebuke to the Corinthian Christians. He says, do you not know that you are God's temple? God's Spirit dwells within you. And the reason the Holy Spirit inspired him to write this letter is because the church in Corinth, just like the culture that existed around it, was in a devastated effect. There were factions. There was infighting amongst the body of Christ. There was open immorality. A man had married his father's wife. Put two and two together. And Paul says, kick them out. They have no business within the body of Christ. There was open immorality. There was theological confusion about the most basic doctrines of the Christian faith. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The church in Corinth, the spiritual gifts were being abused. Marriage was being despised. The lack of love and faith was literally killing the church. The Corinthian church was in a hot mess. And Paul would write this letter to encourage them and remind them of who they are. See, Paul said to them that you are a building that has become the very temple of God, and therefore don't defile or profane that which is holy and righteous. And you are. You are the temple of God. You know, with everything that's been going on within our culture around us, our church has been forced in many ways to reconsider the use of our facilities and how it would be used, because lawsuits abound and it's only going to get worse. And at one of our upcoming voters assembly, I think perhaps even this next one, words of a document are going to be placed before you. And I want you to listen to these words. This facility's use policy for non-members is consistent with our belief in allowing our property and facilities to be used for the purpose that we determine are contrary to the church's beliefs would be an endorsement of those purposes and a contradiction to the and grave violation of the church's faith and religious practices. Furthermore, it is important that the church presents a consistent message to the community and that the church staff and members consciously maintain that message as part of their Christian life and as a witness to others, and it's consistent with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it goes on and on and on, defining that we are a Christian church and therefore nothing will take place within this building that is contrary to God's word. But then we gather together, there's the body of Christ. At times we begin to realize that the way we behave is often the problem. I recently read that Emperor Napoleon, as he was going on his march, and as he was in a German town, was unable to find a stable suitable for the horses. And so therefore he forced this German city to allow his army to use their beautiful cathedral as a stable to house his beautiful stallions. A magnificent building dedicated to God was desecrated as a stable. Could you imagine? Someone walking in here and stripping the pews out and burning them and having horses roam around and walk wherever they may please in a building that has been dedicated to the service of God. We remember in Scripture where Jesus Christ was in Jerusalem. He walked into the temple area and there was people, money changers. They literally brought the market into the temple. And Jesus' response was righteous indignation. I didn't look at the Greek, but it doesn't sound nice. And Jesus crafted a whip out of cords and he drove all of them out and overturned the money changer's table. Why? Because it was a holy place and it was being profaned. But should not this be the very thought urge us to strive to keep ourselves pure and free from sin? Shall I remind you who you are? You are the temple of God. You are holy, righteous, set apart and dedicated for service to Him. Can we, you and I, continue in our thoughts, our words, and our deeds to be profane and sinful in our behavior towards others? Would that not be a greater desecration than the one perpetrated by Napoleon? Or by those who set up their tables within the temple in Jerusalem? You and I need to stop and think more about who we are. How do we live our lives without within the world? The truth of it is that you're always going to be tempted to commit sin. Satan is so busy. He's so busy with all of his wiles and his deceit and his lies to prop up sin as if it's something it's not. But it's good for food. But not for the devil. It's also the world around you urges you to get in line. Fill your spot. Go with everybody else. Live your life the way everyone in the world does. Fit in. Don't stand apart. You're no different than anyone else. And even your own sinful flesh is always there, leaning upon you to sin, seeking you to fulfill the urges of the flesh. Sin is so inviting. It is so inviting. It promises something of so much pleasure, but it absolutely delivers nothing but pain and sorrow, suffering, and ultimately death. I find it interesting that as we've joined together as a congregation to build a building, that the greatest builder of all is God. In a moment, you're going to confess it. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. You would think that a heavenly Father would want to construct His church, His temple out of the most perfect and straight materials He could find. But not our God. He goes for the most twisted boards. He goes for the crooked and bent nails. He goes for the bricks that are defective. He goes for people like you and me. And He makes us holy and righteous because of the work of His Son, Jesus Christ, upon the cross. See, the reality is that Jesus was crushed. Jesus was deformed upon the cross for you, for all the times when we don't live up to who God has called us to be as His holy temple. And He forgives us. You know, this morning as we gather in this place, I'm grateful for the saints that have called Emmanuel home in the past that have delivered such a beautiful place for you and I to gather to worship. I've been in a lot of churches, and for the size of our congregation, this is the best. I'm grateful for brothers and sisters in Christ who will put their hands to the plow and renovate the basement and all the ministries that take place in this facility. I'm grateful for you because it makes a difference. It lets the world around us see who we are, better yet, whose we are. That we're God's temple. That this place is different because of Him. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. We rise together. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We join our voices together as we confess our faith this morning using the words of the Apostles' Creed, found on page 159 or just within the back cover.